Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Truth to Power Show, and my name is Beverly D. And again, this is another informative show. I have Robert X. It's always good to have Robert X back on the show with us because Robert X has did a lot of research on the H1N1, the swine flu pandemic, as they call that is going around. And so he has some updates on what is going on. The information that Robert X give us is not information that you will get from the so-called main media. He will give you the true information of what is going on with this flu virus that they are calling this H1N1. And so I'm going to bring my guest up. Robert X is out of Chicago, Obama land. And so, Robert X, is this you that I have on the line?
Hotep, sister, how are you today?
Hotep, thank you for joining us.
You know it's always a privilege whenever I can get an opportunity to come on your show, sister.
Okay, now would you tell us what is going on with this H1N1?
Well, you know, sister, I was just intrigued at your opening. You called this Obama land. I suspect you're taking another look at Obama here, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people now are beginning to understand the things that we were saying, not from a malicious standpoint, but
right.
Just merely from the standpoint of the fact that this guy is not what we thought he was. He was sold to us like a new car or a new suit or whatever. At any rate, I might add that I think a lot of people began to scratch their heads when he declared a state of emergency in October based on nothing.
Mm.
At least nothing so far.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps there's
He knows, that's what I'm getting ready to say. Perhaps he knows something that we don't know yet.
Exactly. Well, we kind of see, and no one has really given a lot of discussion about the fact that this so-called swine flu, which it is not, well, I guess you can call it that technically, but the 1918 swine flu, that's what it was called. And generally, when a new flu comes out, they don't name it the same flu unless it's the same flu. This is not the same flu. This is a combination of several flus. And now the thing is mutated where they're saying that there's a good possibility to come around. And these are my times. The beginning of next year, I expect this thing, based on some of the things that we've seen, to come back. And this time it's going to come back and attack the people who already have taken the vaccine.
So the problem is the vaccine.
That's part of the problem.
are they?
The other part of the problem is that it's mutated into several forms. The outbreak in Ukraine, they don't know what to call it. It's so virulent, and it's literally melting the lungs of the victims. Their lungs are turning black and filling with blood. And there's been a media blackout in this country on the information based on the dictates of the World Health Organization. They determined that this information is not to get here. However, they've already noted mutations from several people in clusters in this country already. In two, I know North Carolina is one of the places. I forget the name of the other place, but there's already been cases, clusters of cases of this stuff already.
Now, can you kind of, there's people that's listening that haven't heard you when you were on before. So can you kind of give us an overview of where you believe that this virus came from and how did it come about?
Well, I believe that it was manufactured by way of the military-industrial complex by two guys, a Terrence Trumpy, and you can do a Google search on Nova. Nova.
Nova.
Just put in Nova and the 1918 flu.
Okay.
And you'll get information up from that, dealing with this guy, Terrence Tumpy, and Jeffrey Taubenberger. Jeffrey Taubenberger. They recreated the virus with the financing from the military-industrial complex at Fort Detrick in their bio lab. And
now, where
what
is
they did,
Fort Detrick at?
In Maryland.
That's Maryland? Okay.
Yeah, that's in this country. But what they did was they went and dug up corpses of Inuit Indians, okay, in Alaska to get their DNA to basically back and use a computer to undo the virus step by step and then redo it so that they knew the genetic makeup of the virus. And what they did once they did that was to recombine that flu with DNA from other flu, or they used the other flu and just took certain DNA from the 1918 flu to remanufacture this thing to make it not as deadly as it was before. Because everybody would have knew what that was. And they were the only ones, only certain people have access to this particular genetic material. If you don't have the genetics of the any particular virus, you can't reconstruct it. At least they don't have the capacity to do that now. So you must have that particular DNA in order to remanufacture that particular virus. So they use flu, 1918 flu, they use human flu, and they use bird flu to remanufacture that virus. And then the military-industrial complex got a hold of it. And make no mistake about it, I've read information that this was a direct attack by certain intelligence apparatus inside the CIA and Mossad to basically neutralize Barack Obama.
Okay.
And this was one of many weapons that they're using against him. People need to understand there's open warfare between Benjamin Netanyahu, who Bill and Hillary Clinton referred to as the right-wing conspiracy. He was the one who set up Bill Clinton with Monica Lewinsky because he doesn't want to give up that land for peace. But what is happening, interestingly enough, is since Obama has come into office, that's why he put so many Jews around him, because he knew who he was going to have to fight against. And he put those Zionists around him, or neocons, same people, around him, to basically neutralize their efforts. So what has happened is there's a new Jewish organization comprised of other so-called liberal Jewish organizations who are fighting the mainstream Jewish organizations like nothing I've ever seen before. It's out in the open, to the point that they're referring to Barack Obama in their media. You can check Haaretz for the last 2 months. Just take a look at Haaretz. There are headlines, stories in there about them referring to him as a nigger. That's in Israel. In the meantime, this new group is called J Street. You can also check Mother Jones for October and September. They ran very interesting stories on there about this infighting. And the infighting is such that the mainstream Jewish organizations who are made up of Zionists or neocons have stated quite clearly that they ought to excommunicate the other Jews who go against their wishes. These are the people who control the White House. They control the Congress, and they control the military-industrial complex, particularly the communications industry. They are the ones who man the apparatus that basically monitor everything that we do, internet, phones, television, everything, everything electronically in terms of communications. They're the ones that monitor it to the point that they have some CIA people scared to death, and that much of the information that I talk about comes directly from CIA people who don't like what's going on, and they're trying to do everything within their power to expose it. And it's not just here, it's in Britain as well. So that's part of the overall thing that's going on that doesn't get any press, but I've given lectures on this stuff, documenting everything that I'm saying from very mainstream Jewish sources so that people can really understand the nature of politics today. And you can't leave out these viruses and other maladies from 9/11 on down the line, whereas these people's hands have been right in the mix, including this whole thing with Afghanistan and Pakistan. It's not about Afghanistan. They're trying to backdoor to Pakistan. They want to control that border so that they can basically break up Pakistan into about five pieces and gain control of the nuclear weapons. Once they get through with Pakistan, they then going to go to India to take their nuclear weapons. So that's just an overall view of what's going on.
Okay. So
I know I kind of shook you up there a little bit, huh?
No, yeah, but I mean, that's information. This is what we need to know, you know, and this is so good that we have this outlet here that the people can get the true information, because like you say, most of the media is controlled by the people that's doing the fighting here, the Jews.
Well, you know, that's interesting, sister, because there was an interesting article that came out that pointed out after they had did the research that 96% of the media in America is controlled by Jews.
Yeah.
And they get all the names and all the corporations of the people who control the media in this country. And the other 4% is managed by Jews overwhelmingly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's 100% of all the media.
Mm. And so while we still have some kind of outlet to get this information out, this is good. This is what we need to know. Because like I say, we're not going to get it from the other media.
And there's where the rub come in, because what's going to happen when they gain control of the internet, which they're also doing backdoor without anybody really saying anything about it. And that's my concern, because once they shut the door on that, you and I will not be having this conversation. They can label this conversation hate speech. And keep in mind, the Anti-Defamation League, which is one of those groups that I mentioned in terms of the Jewish groups fighting each other, they're the ones who wrote up, for all practical purposes, the legislation on hate speech.
Hmm.
Now, we didn't elect them to do anything, but they did it anyway.
Wow. And then I knew they were talking about passing some kind of bill where you can't even think if you speak on things, or even if you think about something against the, I can't remember what that bill was, but I see it all. They putting things in place now. I see that happening.
Yeah. Oh, these people, they used Obama because they figured that with black people screaming about anybody saying anything about Obama, that would really deflect attention from what he was really doing.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been no president in my lifetime pushed as much dangerous legislation or reconcerted or re-signed a very dangerous legislation that Bush passed. He could have removed this stuff, or at least opened up the discussion on it. He didn't even do that. He not only signed this stuff, he strengthened it. And they're using things like these flus and things like that as cover for what's going on. Now, I'm not saying he doesn't have some opposition. The neocons are, in fact, his opposition. However, when you have a meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus, or they continue to attempt to have a meeting with you, and you tell them about the economy of blacks and how it's so disproportionately affecting us. And you tell them just recently in USA Today this past Friday, a big article on the fact that you won't meet with blacks about the disproportionate number of black people that are unemployed because your focus is on America. Now, he's met with everybody from Indians to Chinese to Pakistanis to you name it. Everybody but black people. So everybody's concerns get heard but black people. And so I don't have much love for that brother anymore because, you know, I saw through him from the research before he got elected.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it's just a culmination of the things that we tried to warn people about with this guy because he was not indigenous to the black community. Do not expect him to act in the manner of a black man because that's not what he is.
And,
if your
and
brain
what he
ain't
did,
black.
Right. And what he did was he came to where you at. What was that about? Was that like a training session for him so he can kind of get make
yeah.
people think he is black? You
well,
know, that was
well, here's
part
the thing.
Of the game plan.
Chicago is the neocon headquarters.
Mm.
That goes for blacks and whites. So you got to understand, and I want our people to understand, as a community organizer, he was financed through the Gamaleya Foundation, which got their money from the Ford Foundation, which is nothing more than CIA. His mother worked for Tim Geithner's father at Ford Foundation, CIA funding to push a particular economic or political line. That's what they do. So when you see certain groups being financed by Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation, you know that that's done with a particular agenda in mind. They don't finance the freedom of people. They don't do that. So that's how he was able to get a foothold here in Chicago through Ford Foundation money, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then he began to organize people, which he never really did. He didn't organize anybody to do anything. And that's how he got a foothold here, because that's how you run for office. You become a community organizer, and I say question anybody who really knows what's going on, right, who is a community organizer and didn't want to use that community organizing as a personal platform to run for political office, because that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And many of these people, they got African names and that kind of thing. We have a number of them here, but they were wholly raised by white people. That's not to say that white people are some evil menace. That's just to point out that there's a segment of white people who come from these foundation structures and government who run a particular agenda that's going to be injurious to both blacks and whites and Hispanics and everybody else on the planet, which is what swine flu is. That's affecting everybody, okay? So that when you see Ford Foundation name on anybody's check, I suggest that you go and look at the reason or the requirements that the Ford Foundation put on that particular organization in order for them to get the money.
Right, right. Just like these preachers that's getting the 501c3, they have certain guidelines that they have to go by. So
absolutely, absolutely. And if you have an organization out here that's about the liberation of people, or truly making people self-determinate, don't expect to get no financing. It's not
mm-hmm.
going to happen.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, a red flag should have went up on Obama. When now, I could see a person going from Chicago to Hawaii, but I can't see nobody going from Hawaii to Chicago and talking about Chicago as home.
Well, you know, he made some stops in between then because he has deaf connections to Pakistan. Through his mother. And,
mm-hmm.
and of course, the year after he graduated from Columbia College, he worked for a corporation called Business International Corporation, which was set up. I have extensive information on that. Don't have it in front of me. But that
mm-hmm.
was set up by CIA and has been used by CIA for some time as a front corporation.
Mm-hmm.
That's called Business International Corporation. So he has a history of working with CIA going back to the 80s. Because that's where his mother come from.
Are you familiar with the book Family of Secrets about the Bushes and the CIA?
Yes, I am.
And all
yes,
that?
I am.
So, well, I keep hearing you saying he's connected with that CIA. So that means that he's connected with Bush and all of them. I mean, I haven't read the book yet, but from what I've heard from how the Bushes was really running the CIA.
Well, that's from Skull and Bones, okay? Now,
okay.
One of the chief architects of the CIA was a guy named McGeorge Bundy. McGeorge Bundy. He was one of the first directors of the CIA, along with Alan Dulles under Kennedy. Alan Dulles is the one who pulled the flag or pulled the car to begin the COINTELPRO program that not only killed black leaders in this country, but in fact killed, assassinated black leaders all over the planet when black people were fighting for their liberation all over the planet at the same time. You just didn't have the civil rights movement here. You had African liberation struggles going on globally. And COINTELPRO was the system that they used to basically neutralize slash assassinate black leaders all over the planet. And it's still in effect, by the way, to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why you see them using Blackwater and Dying Core and there are a number of other security firms who have been exposed this year. And Eric Prince, by the way, the head of Blackwater, which is now Z or XE, he has just stepped down because he's angry because he got exposed as a CIA front company used to assassinate people personally under the auspices of your former vice president, Dick Cheney, who just happens to be the cousin of Barack Obama through Barack Obama's mother.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came out and challenged him back during the summer when people were screaming about the CIA rendition photos. Well, it was Blackwater that's running that. Blackwater is the group that's being used today in Pakistan to destabilize Pakistan with no mention of it by Barack Obama.
Now, isn't Blackwater, isn't that like a private military or private army, or is it, which one?
They are direct, they come directly out of CIA. Many of them are former CIA operatives or special forces guys, along with some other guys that they allow in, okay? But that's what they are. They are really the military inside the military. That when you hear about the 100-some thousand secret forces or forces that are in Iraq and Afghanistan, that's who's there, supplementing the military, guarding the poppy fields. Whenever U.S. diplomats go to Iraq, it's Blackwater that serve as their security guards. But they've come under fire for just killing people indiscriminately without real good cause. Now, there's been no trial on that. But there's a recent article in the Nation of Magazines. It's a nice long article by Jeremy Scahill. And there's a recent article in this month's edition. It's a December or January of 2010's edition of Vanity Fair. That's a long article, about 20-something pages. I just got through photocopying it Friday. Haven't had a chance to read it yet. But it's dealing with Eric Prince and his connection to Blackwater. Now, Eric Prince also comes out of an organization called the Sovereign Military Order of Malta. Now, I'm going all over the place here,
but that's
I'm just
okay.
Showing,
we got time. We can
What I'm doing is showing you the interconnections between government, the intelligence apparatus, the foundations, and the people who run for political office, because in many cases, like Barack Obama, they are raised and nurtured by these people. He's not alone. There's a particular mindset of black politicians. Many of them come with the African names, to get people away from a particular paradigm in terms of the struggle of black people in this country to neutralize our efforts. So they run these brothers with these African names, if they are in fact brothers. I'm not quite sure what they are. Many of them come from interracial backgrounds,
mm-hmm.
okay? And That's the makeup of the thing that they're using to neutralize and discredit both blacks and whites at both ends of the spectrum. So these people are race neutral. You might recall during the 80s when they were setting this thing up, they wanted to create a new category for people who came from black mothers, I mean white mothers and black fathers, or white mothers and black fathers. But in most cases, they were white mothers because the chances of them looking white were much greater coming from a white mother and a black father.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the paradigm. That's what they're doing.
And also somebody wants to know, could you elaborate on the connection between the Pritzker, P-R-I-T-Z-K-E-R family and the banking industry?
Yeah, the Pritzkers come from they're like the Jewish royalty, a part of the Jewish royalty here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And they were at the beginning of the whole home housing debacle. I'm talking about at the beginning. Remember when we had this discussion and I told you that Bloomberg and a few people were only allowed to trade in those
mm-hmm.
derivatives?
Mm-hmm.
We had this discussion some time ago. Well, mm-hmm. her family was one of those families. They're major landholders here in Chicago. She never went to jail. She should be in prison. Barack Obama wanted to make her his finance chief. She was his finance chief, if I'm not mistaken, during his run for the presidency. But he wanted to give her a cabinet position. There's no way in hell she would have stood up to any kind of scrutiny. So she turned him down.
Mm-hmm.
But Valerie Jarrett also is one of those people, okay? She comes from the board of the Gamaleya Foundation, all right? She's part of Jack and Jill, which is that elitist sister organization to the Boulé, okay,
mm-hmm.
here in Chicago. That's where she comes from. Her husband was Boulé, and her stepfather was the Grand Sire Archon of Vernon Jarrett, very, very light-skinned, almost white. One day he called me a spy. He called me a plant. And I told him, I'm a plant, all right. I'm an aloe vera plant. I'm good for you. I let him know that my thing was expose him and the people that he worked for. That's why these people are always held down in front of us. He had plush jobs, Vernon Jarrett, on TV back in the 70s and the 60s, when you didn't find no black people on TV. That's because he was acceptable to them. And whenever something went down, you would always see him being put into the mix, again, to neutralize the efforts of people who were truly struggling for self-determination. So that's the deal. The Pritzkers are perhaps one, two, or three, the richest Jewish family in the state of Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
They have a long history in gangsterism, if I can put it like that. But you see, sister, it's hard for me to talk sometimes without talking about other things. Don't let us get too far away from swine flu, because believe me, I can announce a lecture like this Saturday. I'm supposed to be giving a lecture on Barack Obama, year one, from the ballot to the bullet. And it's
okay.
A takeoff. It's primarily a takeoff on Malcolm and his speech given in April of 1964, the ballot or the bullet, okay?
Now, where is your lecture going to be at?
Oh, it's going to be here in Chicago at the Kelly Branch Library. Most of my lectures are free. I ask for donations for people who can donate, but generally I don't want to compel or put our people in a position where they got to pay $30 for a ticket
mm-hmm.
to hear information that's going to, in most cases, it's revolutionary because we really have no idea what's going on out here. And there are only a few of us who really do this kind of thing in depth enough to give the proper analysis. And I tell you, sister, after over 20 years, it's remarkable how front we are on a lot of stuff, okay? And then the stuff comes out later, a year, 2 years later, and the mainstream Negroes finally find out what's happening. They give you little blurbs and little pieces, you know,
mm-hmm.
but it's too late to do anything then.
Mm. And so, that's probably why the main players don't care about you giving out the information, because of how the people react to it. And when they do react, like you say, it's too late.
I would just, in quoting Michael Jackson, they don't really care about us.
Okay.
And in one of his last interviews with media, he pointed out that the Jews were out to get him. He called them bloodsuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that was all over national media. So I guess if Michael can say it, and you know, a lot of people felt that Michael was gutless, people didn't understand the thing that Michael was fighting against. Let me tell you something about these people, and let me add this first, for people to get it here first. I don't expect Barack Obama to complete his first term.
So you don't think that's why they letting people crash the parties, and so they deliberately not watching his back?
Well, there have been a number of situations that have occurred, from the situation in Chesapeake Bay,
mm-hmm.
Where his motorcade was riding, and my information says that there was a boat loaded with munitions. The Coast Guard basically had their transmissions interrupted by CNN and Fox News. They broke into their national news to report that a boat was apprehended in the Chesapeake Bay following the route of Barack Obama, and that the Coast Guard fired 10 shots. Now, they monitoring Coast Guard transmission.
Mm-hmm.
The Coast Guard was subsequently made to come out and say that that wasn't the case, that they basically didn't hear what they heard. They monitoring Coast Guard transmission. I have information that says that that boat was full of explosives.
Mm.
Now, everybody might recall on his way back from the Caribbean, after he left the G20, there was an incident in New York that had a large area of New York evacuated because Air Force One allegedly was doing photo ops, and two military fighter jets locked on to Air Force One and was getting ready to blow it out of the sky. They told it to go and land, and they refused to follow orders. There was a small chase until they were informed to break off the chase. That, you know, they didn't tell anybody that they were doing a photo op around New York City with Air Force One at approximately the same time Barack Obama was on his way back from the Caribbean.
Yeah, I remember hearing something about that.
Yeah, and it was a big uproar
mm-hmm.
about it, and Barack Obama
mm-hmm.
was supposedly pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
But there have been a number of incidents, okay, and that's why I tell people, read the article from The Nation by Jeremy Scahill, where he points out that Barack Obama is probably scared of Blackwater. He doesn't want to be assassinated. But they don't have to come with the bullet. They can Harold Washington you.
Yeah, they can poison you.
And this is what I'm feeling. This is my spirit telling me. I didn't feel
mm-hmm.
this way before.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, sister, this is a recent thing on my part. Now, I don't go against my spirit. When my spirit
mm-hmm.
tells me something I've learned over the years,
yeah.
to listen to it.
That's right.
And that's why I've been able, along with the research, to be so correct so much on so much stuff. And it makes these Negroes in Chicago angry because they don't do the work. They're too busy making money to keep our people in check.
Like we used to say, they're too busy styling and profiling.
Absolutely. That's what they do. They do it real well.
Mm.
And so, you know, when we look at the context of this swine flu, we said some things from the beginning. You could go back. One of the things that we said was that it was an ethnic weapon. Now, here in Chicago, they're saying that the incidences of people being hospitalized all of a sudden now, kind of like the AIDS virus with swine flu, is black people. I have a friend of mine who I told to take the things to strengthen her immune system, and particularly her respiratory system,
mm-hmm.
The vitamin D3, the cod liver oil, and turmeric. I told her to take that. Oh, I'm
now,
not sure
what's
she
the,
was giving
now,
it.
Now, what's the other one you say to take? Because I know about the vitamin D3, the vitamin D,
D3.
And the cod liver oil, but what's the other one?
The other one is what the white people are terming now a miracle drug, because it tends to bust cancer cells and reduces inflammation in your joints, which gives you arthritis, and it attacks a whole host of things, It's an Indian herb that they've been using for centuries. And when I went to do a swine flu conference in Seattle, which went real well from my perspective because we had a person on the panel there from the CDC, and she was asking me for stuff.
Mm.
I'm just a lay person. I have no college degree. My thing is to show people who don't have the college degree, you are just as valuable as anybody else. So don't think you got to go to no school to get sanctioned by anybody to do anything. I spent most of my time in my 20s and 30s in the library. That's why I know the stuff that I know.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of friends who've gotten college degrees, and I respect them highly, and they know it. But one thing I don't allow them to do is to take that limited amount of knowledge that you get in a four-year span and think that you've been educated about anything. You have a particular amount of knowledge in a certain area, and that's all you have, most of which you would never use out here in the real world unless you went to college and you specialized in perhaps medicine or things of that nature. But for the most part, the unemployment lines are full of people with college degrees.
Now, tell me that one more time. I might have missed it. What was the third thing you said with the cod liver oil and the Indian?
Turmeric.
Yeah.
Turmeric.
Oh, turmeric.
T-U-M-E-R-I-C. They are calling it a miracle drug. I take it every day, at least one capsule every day. You can get all three of those things for under $30. That's less than what the flu shot costs.
Okay.
I guarantee it. And you'll find that if you got, like I had from driving a truck, knots on my knees from, you know, with the clutch all the time,
mm-hmm.
I started taking that stuff, and I went to the doctor. They couldn't do nothing to give me some drugs.
Mm-hmm.
I started taking that turmeric a year ago. I have no knots on my knees. My legs have never felt better.
Okay.
And you can do, I advise people, do a search on it, and then call any health professional that you like. And ask them about turmeric, and they'll tell you that it also, for people who have clogged arteries and things, it opens up your arteries miraculously. For people who have heart problems,
mm-hmm.
I suggest you ask your doctor about it, and he'll tell you they're doing studies on it right now. They don't know how it does what it does, but it does.
Okay.
So these are the things that people need to do to protect themselves. That sister that I was telling you about earlier, her whole family came down with this stuff, but her. She was the only one that didn't.
Mm.
So she ended up having to take care of everybody in the house.
Now, the swine flu, now, a lot of people are not taking the vaccine. And so how are they catching it? Is it airborne? Are they putting it in food? I mean, how are they spreading it among the people?
Oh, like any other virus. It'll attach you like any other virus through your mucous membranes, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, you know,
okay.
any hole for the most part in your body. You can catch swine flu that way. But
okay.
this new thing that just was just released in Ukraine is totally different. Well, not totally. The World Health Organization they got a sample of the virus, and what they said is it has some of the genetic makeup of H1N1, but it's not the same. Now, here's the interesting thing. In August of this year, a guy named Joseph Moshe, M-O-S-H-E, okay? He was arrested in California a day or so after calling into an internet radio program. This is how important the internet is. And pointing out that Baxter International was getting ready to release a bioweapon in Ukraine. He said that on the radio, and he needed some legal apparatus or some legal people to talk to. Well, of course, the people on the radio didn't quite take the guy seriously. 2 days later, he's arrested in California, okay, and basically charged with making threats against the White House. He is now in a mental institution due for arraignment again in a year, so they hiding him away. But the important thing is that he is a biochemist from
mm-hmm.
Israel, and he worked for Mossad, Israeli intelligence. when they cornered this guy in L.A., they used robots. They had his car surrounded. He never got out of his car. He sat there and smoked cigarettes while they pumped pepper spray and tear gas into his car. He never dropped a tear in his car. And they, you can go on and do a YouTube search on it, and you can get some YouTube stuff on this guy sitting in his car while all this smoke is coming out of his car. He just continued to sit there and smoke cigarettes. And they couldn't understand why he appeared to be immune against pepper spray and tear gas. And the reason that he was immune to it was because during his training in Mossad, they put you in those environments, so don't affect them like it affects everybody else. He's more or less built up a tolerance for it.
Okay.
So he did that for 8 hours just sitting in his car. They take him to court, all right? He's arraigned in court. They can't charge him with calling the White House to blow up the White House, which is the front that they used to arrest him. That never happened. He called the White House to warn them about the Ukraine outbreak. Now, that was in August. In September, we had a biochemist here in Chicago who suddenly, from the University of Chicago, the home of the neocons, he suddenly died from pneumonic plague. That was in September.
Okay.
His name was Kasabadan. I'll find that article here. Anyway, he died from pneumonic plague, and nobody know how he got pneumonic plague, because even though he was a biochemist, he was working with a strain that was supposed to be non-lethal in his lab. But somehow he catches it and dies quite suddenly. That was in September. In October, you had this massive outbreak of what they term pneumonic plague, okay, in Ukraine. Now, the other interesting thing is, prior to the outbreak or the scientist dying here, Mr. I can't pronounce his name. I hope I can find that article in front of in this stuff here. Anyway, prior to him dying, Lake of the Hills, Illinois, Google it, Lake of the Hills, Illinois, did a bio drill with the biohazard being pneumonic plague. And shortly after that, Interpol, the International Policing Agency, did a bio drill using, guess what, as the virus hazard, so pneumonic plague, not swine flu, pneumonic plague. Now, how did they know to do these drills for pneumonic plague?
Now, someone in the chat room say, tell the guy name again, the agent, what you say, Joe, what was his name?
Joseph Moshe. Let me give you some articles here, okay?
Okay.
This is the Huffington Post, for August 14, 2009. Joseph Moshe, man suspected of making threats against White House, leads police on chase. Here's another one. Rents.com. Bizarre mystery man claims Baxter flu vax is a bioweapon. August 15th, 09. That's Rents, RENSE.com. The next one is, who is Joseph Moshe? This is from the blog. Health Freedom Alliance, Health Freedom Alliance, all one word, .org. Health Freedom Alliance, that's a blog, .org. And like I said, you can go on YouTube too and put in Joseph Moshe, and I guarantee you, you will get a number of different videos showing the standoff between him and PD and other quasi-military personnel.
Okay.
So it was well covered, but what happened to him was not well covered. He is now in a mental institution due to come back up, go back to court next year. Originally, people said that he was subsequently be sent back to Israel. But I found out through my continuous research, because I don't accept anybody's particular article as the gospel. I can give you 20 articles dealing with that. I go through a 500 block of paper a week, copying stuff, every week, not 1 week.
Mm-hmm.
And I use so much ink on my printer, that's probably my biggest expense. But now if you want to deal, the articles dealing with the bioterror drills, this one is from interpol.int. Interpol.int for November the 8th, 2009. November the 8th, 2009. International Bioterrorism Tabletop Exercise. International Bioterrorism Tabletop Exercise. And check this. It says, in September 2009, senior law enforcement officials, healthcare professionals, and experts from international organizations joined their forces to confront a chilling crisis. The plague had just been unleashed on their countries by unknown evildoers. Using one of Bush's words, that's neocon speak. The civilian authorities were all participants in a tabletop exercise on preventing bioterrorism hosted by Interpol. Okay? Go on here. They say here, the idea behind this exercise, the third in a series organized by Interpol, has been described by the organization's Secretary General, Ronald K. Noble, as, quote, helping focus our joint understanding of the role and responsibility of each of us, police, healthcare experts, in response to a bioterrorism incident. They go on to say, this third edition of the event took place from 29-30 September in Warsaw, Poland. Participants are number 27 from six Central and Eastern European countries, Belarus, Czech Republic, Finland, Poland, Slovakia, and Ukraine, as well as 15 participants from international organizations such as Europol, the UN Office for Disarmament Affairs, the World Health Organization, the European Center for Disease Control, the European Commission, and the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe and the Commonwealth of Independent States. Mm-hmm. So you can see they doing exercises for this stuff, and as soon as they get through with the exercise, the virus breaks out in Ukraine. And Moshe clearly points out, if you read the articles, he points out there was going to be a bioweapon released in Ukraine, and they arrested him. He was merely trying to warn the world of what was going on. And again, sister, I have information. I'm going to use that in my Obama presentation, so I don't have that in front of me, which points to the fact that these same intelligence people were used to release the swine flu epidemic in Mexico.
Yeah, because I remember when Obama went and then the guy over there dropped dead.
Absolutely. One of his hosts from the museum died the next day, and somehow Obama didn't get it.
Mm.
Now, here's what's interesting, sister. You might recall that we pointed out some time back that this stuff, we used the Sunshine Project. You remember us talking about that?
Mm-hmm. But kind of by the way, the audience know what the Sunshine.
Okay, the Sunshine Project was an effort on the part of a group of people to basically expose the nature of chemical and biological experiments on people, not just in this country, but around the world, particularly with Britain and Canada and this country, and how they were basically experimenting on their people without their knowledge. And they document a number of things all the way up until the middle 2000s, 2005, when I don't know what happened, but they're no longer in business. But at any rate, you can Google the Sunshine Project. And here's what you'll find. This is from October 9th, 2003. October 9th, 2003, the Sunshine Project, lethal virus from 1918 genetically reconstructed. U.S. Army scientists create Spanish flu virus in laboratory. Medical benefit questionable.
Mm.
Now, let me give you just a little bit of this, because you'll find this quite interesting, and I'm sure your listeners will. They say here, and again, this is October 9th, 2003, 6 years before swine flu. The Spanish flu influenza virus that killed 20 to 40 million people in 1918 is currently under reconstruction. Several genes of the extraordinary lethal 1918 virus have been isolated and introduced into contemporary flu strains. What does contemporary mean, sister?
Well, they're talking about just the regular flu?
They're talking about the strains of flu that are out here today. That's contemporary, okay? Today. Let me read that sentence again.
Okay.
Several genes of the extraordinarily lethal 1918 flu virus have been isolated and introduced into contemporary flu strains. These proved to be lethal for mice, while virus constructs with genes from a current flu virus type had hardly any effect. These experiments may be easily abused for military purposes, but provide little benefit from a medical or public health point of view. Despite the various dangerous nature of the 1918 virus, efforts to reconstruct it started in the mid-1990s when Dr. Jeffrey Taubenberger from the U.S. Armed Forces Institute of Pathology in Washington, D.C., succeeded in recovering and sequencing fragments of the viral RNA from preserved tissues of 1918 victims. In the current issue of the scientific journal, Emerging Infectious Diseases, new genetic details of the 1918 flu virus will be published. But after partially unraveling the genetic sequence of the virus, the scientists went a step further and began bringing the Spanish flu back to life. Unnoticed by the public, they succeeded in creating a live virus containing two 1918 genes that proved to be very lethal in animal experiments. This experiment is only one genetic step away from taking the 1918 demon entirely out of the bottle.
Hmm.
Now, I think that would say it all, sister, but there's a sister article in there entitled Recreating Spanish Flu that's much more, it's a little longer than that one. That's only like three pages. This one is maybe five. It's entitled Recreating the Spanish Flu. That too, from the Sunshine Project, October 3rd, 2003. Now, here's what's interesting. In doing my research, I ran into, and you might recall, this other article, and this is just for people to keep in mind as we go along here, from the Sunshine Project. It's entitled, but this is a government document. It's entitled, Less Than Lethal Systems, Situational Control by Olfactory Stimuli. It's a white paper submitted by the Marine Corps System Command Director, Joint Non-Lethal Directorate. From Quantico, Virginia, which happens to be the home of the CIA. It's a research and development of non-lethal technologies submitted by Science Applications International Corporation of San Diego, California. And I used this before on one of your older shows that people can go back,
mm-hmm.
but you'll find this under the Sunshine Project. And the interesting thing in this document is that they talk about how they can best use or deliver a new virus or pathogen that they wanted to use against an enemy. And here's what they say here. Working in close collaboration with the Marine Corps for their designee, SAIC would develop a delivery system optimized by a specific operational scenario using paintballs and or shotguns. Well, this is not the one. In this document, in the event that I'm not able to find it, oh, here it is. An airborne spray delivery system. Current systems, delivery systems, oh, by the way, anybody, when you see chemtrails,
mm-hmm.
you see the plane spraying, that's a particular
right.
delivery system that they're using on those planes. This is the documentation that deals with that particular delivery system, okay? You can go to the Sunshine Project, and you'll find it there. It says, current delivery systems are limited to in range and area coverage. This program will develop a spray or stream delivery system for deployment from an airborne platform. The platform could be a manned or unmanned, including helicopters, fixed-wing aircraft, blimps, and aerofoils. The sprayer would allow quick release of spray or streams of liquid over a wider area than achieved using gun-based delivery systems. The program would include engineering design, fabrication, and performance tests of the delivery system, hardware for attachment to the platform, and the spray release mechanism. It would also include training of personnel in the use of the prototype delivery system and development of operational procedures. A field demonstration would be planned and executed near the completion of this program. Okay, so they're telling you that they're going to create, and keep in mind, even though this document may be stamped 1998, that's only because they found the stuff perhaps during that time, but it was already being worked on prior to that. Okay,
mm-hmm.
So the interesting thing about that is this particular article from a South African newspaper called FLO.com, FLO.com. Trail leading to pneumonic plague in Ukraine revolve chemtrails or mysterious spray, fears of vaccine being sprayed. That's FLO.co.za.
Dot Z like a zebra?
Right. Z as in zebra.
Okay.
Z-A. And it says here, in 2002, the U.S. military was accused of conducting a chemical weapons research and development program in violation of international arms control laws, whereby they replied, quote, the Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Directorate, which is what that particular document I just got through reading was dealing with, a secret program is not focusing on highly lethal agents such as VX or sarin. Rather, the emphasis is on non-lethal chemical weapons that incapacitate. The Joint Non-Lethal Weapons Directorate science advisors define non-lethal as resulting in death or permanent injury in 1 in 100 victims. Their research director told the U.S. military magazine, quote, we need something besides tear gas like Calmatis, anesthetic agents that would put people to sleep or in a good mood, unquote. These weapons are intended to use against potentially hostile civilians in anti-terrorism operations, counterinsurgency, and other military operations. Now, here's the important thing about that. Let me go on further on in this article. See, it's here. Authorities in a town, well, let me go back a little bit here. Says here, a Chicago, now this is dealing with the Chicago researcher. September 19th, a Chicago researcher dies from Yersinia pestis, which is the plague. That's the chemical term or the medical term for the plague. The researcher studied the genetics of the harmful bacteria, including a weakened strain of that particular virus or pathogen that lacks the bacteria's harmful components. This strain is not known to cause illness in healthy adults and has been used in some countries as a, quote, check this, a live attenuated vaccine to protect against plague.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear what I said, sister? The same thing that killed him, they're saying they don't know why it killed him. They're using it in vaccines,
mm-hmm.
in the nasal sprays. Now, here's the other thing. George Bush and Dan Quayle are directly related to the company that produces the nasal spray vaccine.
Why am I not surprised?
Sister, they go on here to say the persons, wait a minute, let me go on and give you this last piece. Authorities in the town of Kiev, Ukraine, denied any spraying of aerosol medication by aircraft over the city. This after it was reported that light aircraft were seen flying over the forest market area that sprayed an aerosol substance to fight H1N1 or swine flu. Five sources confirmed this, and the local newspapers of Kiev also received hundreds of phone calls from residents and business owners close to the area the planes were spraying the suspicious substance. Local businesses and retailers were advised to stay indoors during the day by the local authorities. As if this is not enough, the government also pushed radio stations in Kiev to deny the reports. There was also reports of helicopters spraying aerosols over Kiev, Lviv, Chernobyl, and throughout Ukraine. Now, what's interesting, sister, is not only were they reported, but directly after that, you had the swine flu outbreaks. Okay? Now, here's another very, very interesting piece. You would think that all that, you know, was enough to raise anybody's eyebrows, okay? But now, here's where it really gets really, really sinister. Because I believe, and this is me, and I have some sources, I don't have them here in front of me, but there's some stuff that I've read that says that there's a very distinct possibility that this swine flu is not the first one that's going to be toxic. As I said earlier, this thing is recombining, which means that now both the vaccine and the Tamiflu are totally ineffective against the new strains. It doesn't work. And you cannot take antibiotics for this stuff.
Mm.
If you study the 1918 swine flu, it was in fact a form of pneumonia or tuberculosis. We had a virulent outbreak of tuberculosis here in the 90s, specifically in New York. And the entire World Health Organization community was put on alert about this particular tuberculosis. So there are people who are trying to find a label for this new virus, but it ain't no H1N1. That was the original 1918 swine flu. This is three different flus. And now, since it has mutated, it is something different now. It is whatever's in your DNA. And for all those people who took the swine flu shot, you will be much more susceptible. And we've had a number of cases of people who didn't take the swine flu. Say you got four people in your family. They didn't take the swine flu shot. Or two of them did, two of them didn't.
Mm-hmm.
The two people who didn't are catching the flu, and it's affecting them much more from the people who took the vaccine.
Wait a minute. You say the people, say that again.
Say you got four people in your house and two of them took the swine flu vaccine. Two of them didn't.
Right.
They sneeze. That vaccine is now in the air because it's in you.
The two that took the vaccine, when they sneeze, it comes out in the air.
Right.
Okay.
And so the people who didn't take the shots are catching the swine flu from that. There's a case of a black family, and it's more than one. Again, I would have to go through all this stuff, so perhaps I should have written these things down. But I'm going to be honest, sister, I've been studying so much stuff here, lady. Much of this, what I'm telling you, is off the top of my head. I have some documents here in front of me, but anybody can email me, you know, when I get the time. I will respond to you and send you the name of those documents. You can go and take a look at. This is recent stuff, okay? Those people, one guy, black guy, died catching the swine flu from his son who had taken a vaccine. And there's been any number of deaths from people, particularly in Europe, who've taken the vaccine, okay? And
a number of people who have gotten so sick. Just recently in Canada, they had to recall over 100,000 batches of vaccine, okay, because they said that they were getting too many complications from people who were getting the swine flu shot from that particular batch of vaccine.
Mm.
That was just in Canada, not more than a week to 10 days ago. And now they're telling everybody the swine flu has died down. Here's what I'm telling you, that according to this particular document, and you'll notice, sister, this is from the Next Generation Bioweapons, the technology of genetic engineering applied to biowarfare and terrorism by Michael J. Ainscough, A-I-N-S-C-O-U-G-H, Colonel, United States Air Force, the Counterproliferation Papers, Future Warfare Series number 14, United States Air Force, Counterproliferation Center, Air War College, Air University, Maxwell Air Force Base, Alabama. You can find this particular document under what's called the JASON Project. J-A-S-O-N. The JASON Project. Okay? And this particular article deals with binary biological weapons. Binary, of course, means two. I suggest to you that the swine flu vaccine and this new swine flu that's going to be coming out that's been mutated is a binary weapon, particularly this swine flu strain or flu strain or pneumonic plague or whatever you want to call it from Ukraine. Here's what they say here in that document. Analogous to a binary chemical weapon, this is a two-component system consisting of innocuous parts that are mixed immediately prior to use to form the pathogen. Many pathogenic bacteria contain multiple DNA fragments that code for virulence or other specific functions. The virulence of anthrax, plague, dysentery, and other diseases is enhanced by these plasmids. What occurs naturally in nature can be artificially conduced with basic biotechnology techniques in the laboratory. Virulent plasmids, which is a part of a DNA or DNA fragment, can be transferred along different kinds of bacteria and often across species barriers. To produce a binary biological weapon, a host bacteria and a virulent plasmid could be independently isolated and produced in the required quantities. Just before the weapon or bioweapon was deployed, the two components would be mixed together. The transformation of the host organism back into a pathogen could conceivably take place after a weapon is triggered and during transport or flight. Scientists at Florida State University had mastered this technique. I'll close with this. This is the same document, Designer Genes. It seems only a matter of time until microbiologists develop synthetic genes, synthetic viruses, or even complete new organisms. Some of these could be specifically produced for biological warfare or terrorism purposes. Perhaps the most obvious way to increase the effectiveness of any biological warfare pathogen is to render it resistant to antibiotics or antiviral agents. I submit to you that's what's going on in Ukraine right now is a binary weapon. That was the spraying and the flu, which combined to form something totally different, but yet does in fact have components to H1N1. That's what's going on, sister. And this next go around in this country, let's watch and see what happens. I suggest that it's going to be much more lethal than the first go around. And the
now,
vaccine,
when do you think the next go around will be?
I think it's going to be the heart of winter, which will probably be February. I would say late January and coming into February.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And the vaccine in itself has proven to be extremely dangerous. And, of course, there are controls on the media and printing and saying certain stuff. So, and that's according to the contract that's signed with the vaccine manufacturers. There's a total blackout on most of this stuff outside of Ukraine. Only in European countries do you even hear this stuff. I can go through at least over 100 articles from European publications or blogs that have been tracking this stuff that will just absolutely blow you away. I've tracked it from day one, from its outbreak in October 29th. That was the outbreak in Ukraine, right after, 5 days after, Barack Obama announces a national emergency here when there really was no national emergency. You can check this. This is iCleveland.com, iCleveland, I in Cleveland, like Cleveland, Ohio, .com. Shocking H1N1 swine flu vaccine miscarriage stories from pregnant women. Sister, inside the vaccine inserts, I defy anybody to go online and look up under Novartis or GlaxoSmithKline, any of their swine flu vaccine inserts. Just Google that. And you'll find inside the inserts, it talks about not only giving people, women, miscarriages, it talks about their entire reproductive capacity. In other words, you may not be able to have another child again once you take this vaccine. And there's been any number of miscarriages of women, pregnant women, who've taken these vaccines. And there's absolutely little or no media. Go to that particular website, and you'll find women sharing their stories about what happened to them.
So you say I could be standing at the in the supermarket at the counter waiting to check out. A person could be standing in front of me, next to me. They have had the vaccine. They sneeze, and I can catch this from them sneezing.
No question about it. Mm-hmm. That's from established medical doctors. Established medical doctors. That's not, none of this is coming from me. That's what's so interesting about this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the guy you mentioned some months ago, Lynn Horowitz. He's only one of many now, okay? I'm talking about people from the kind of the area of the medical community who do peer-reviewed studies of this stuff. Even they're coming out talking about this stuff. One of the other very, very dangerous components from this, because all of their plans for killing people, Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is another one who've discussed this stuff, okay? You can go to her website where she not only talks about this, but she breaks down the ingredients in the swine flu. And anybody who want to find out the ingredients in the swine flu, you can go to VacTruth.com, VacTruth.com. Ingredients found in spermicides, cleaners, and cosmetics, along with thimerosal and squalene, present in experimental H1N1 vaccine. That's VacTruth for September 11, 2009. Or you can check Sherry Tenpenny, where she talks about the overall vaccine community and what's involved in that, everything from caterpillar eggs to retinal cells from aborted fetal tissues and kidney cells from cocker spaniels. That's a dog,
mm-hmm.
for those who don't know, okay? And other things that are extremely injurious to people. There's no way, if you know what's inside these vaccines, would you put this, can I say shit? Would you put this shit into your body?
Mm-hmm. Now, if they're using this as a bioweapon, why are they giving it to their own people?
Because they have an agenda, and again, I think we may have mentioned this. If I didn't, let me go back and mention this, because everybody should read this particular document. From the Club of Rome, done in the late 1960s, that particular document is entitled A Limit to Growth. A Limit to Growth. And it deals with population control. It doesn't just deal with population control, but it deals with the various avenues that will encompass population control. Okay? For instance, cap and trade. That's about population control. People having babies. They consider babies using too much carbon or emitting too much carbon. That is a no-no. This is why, sister, I've been pointing out on one of your other shows, that's why they consistently, since the 1960s, concentrated on controlling the birth of women. And they've come out with, man, who knows how many things specifically targeted to stop women from having children.
And particularly women with melanin.
Absolutely.
Melanated women, yeah.
That's right. So these things are real, okay? And this so-called cap and trade, this Copenhagen Treaty, is nothing more than to, in fact, bring about that particular doctrine. And it's a long article, maybe 20-some pages, but you got time to take time out of your life and read 20-some pages. It's called A Limit to Growth. Limits to Growth. That's the doctrine. And you've had very prominent scientists who stated quite clearly that the problem with the environment is that there are too many people. That's called sustainable development. That's what they attempt to put in place. And you'll hear them saying things like a sustainable environment and sustainable this and sustainable that. And the children have been totally indoctrinated in all of this phony stuff that comes up out of this Limits to Growth with this phony green movement. It's all phony. It's all about population control. And the biggest phony, and you merely have to go and remember the so-called debate that he had with Ross Perot. You call him Perot. I call him Perot.
Mm-hmm.
Where I'm talking about Al Gore,
okay?
When he was the vice president, he lied about NAFTA through his nose. When he had to debate Ross Perot, Ross Perot was trying to tell people what was coming down the road. He said it would be a giant sucking sound of jobs. What is kicking Barack Obama's ass today, sister? That giant sucking sound of jobs. So much so that he's talking about having a job fair at the White House when he ran on a platform of bringing NAFTA back into the equation, which basically removes jobs, lowers the standard of living, and is going to put people in very deleterious situations where you're seeing all kind of negative behavior skyrocket because the stress that people are incurring today is overwhelming, so he wants to give a job fair. That's not going to deal with the massive unemployment that's going on now. And I told you, I expect in January for there to be a major, around the same time as this swine flu or this flu breaks out again here on the second go around, I expect around the same time for the commercial real estate industry, that's your shopping malls and things like that, expect clearly 25% of them to go out of business massively. Massively. So you're going to have those two things basically intersecting at the same time. Because notice, sister.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
Now, I was just going to say, notice after every holiday, like Thanksgiving, they talk about the receipts from the businesses.
Mm-hmm.
Notice, they started Thanksgiving in August. They started Christmas in September.
Yeah.
And you ain't heard nothing about how the business sector did after Thanksgiving. Not a word. And they put out these phony unemployment numbers again the other day. They said they only lost 11,000 jobs last month. That's the biggest lie ever put out there. That's the biggest one I've heard. The day before they released the numbers, everybody on the left and the right, because I monitor both, said that the unemployment would be at least 140,000 to 160,000 for November. They came out and said they only lost 11,000 jobs. The
now,
propaganda is off the charts. Go ahead, sister.
Oh, yeah. I want to take some questions, but someone is asking, what do you believe will be the outcome of the leaked email from the IPCC regarding ClimateGate?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about now.
Okay.
All of that is the product of Ford Foundation, Rockefeller Foundation,
okay,
inspired money to finance. I'm talking so much here about things that I anticipate on talking about. Oh, the limits to growth.
Okay.
And what's going to be the outcome? They're going to try to pass it, but unfortunately for them, with those emails that have been released, they have major, major problems because one of the prestigious people inside of that community, the so-called climate people, okay, just resigned, okay?
Mm.
And you don't get no higher in pushing the climate agenda, climate control agenda, than this guy. He resigned very quietly. And notice, the stuff since the outbreak, the media refuses to cover it to any degree. And what those emails talk about is how they were going to manipulate, which is another way for lie, to people to get them to accept how this whole notion of reducing climate or greenhouse gases. And what it's really about is controlling the economy, okay? Because if you can control the economy, you're automatically going to limit the number of babies that people have. Because only the truly stupid will go out there and try to have babies and you can't eat. So it's all about controlling people's economies. They're even talking about paying some so-called third world or underdeveloped countries. But again, all this comes out of doctrines that I've been reading from the Foreign Affairs Magazine, which is the financial organ of the Council on Foreign Relations, and you can read some trilateral commission documents. You can email them, and they'll send you the documents. We've gotten the documents over the years. It's not hidden. It's hidden in plain view. And that when I mentioned the Club of Rome, it preceded the Trilateral Commission. It came before the Trilateral Commission. But the doctrines are the same. It's just an apparatus, the Trilateral Commission, used to incorporate politicians to carry out the doctrine. The Club of Rome are people behind the scenes who write the doctrine. It's like the think tanks write the legislation and give it to the politicians, and then they pass it and put their name on it, and they ain't wrote nothing.
Right.
So everything you turn on, you got the think tank people sitting there discussing stuff from the center for this and the center for that. Well, you need to ask yourselves, who are these people? Well, they're the people who write the legislation that they call the laws that govern you. And it should be against the law for anybody at some think tank to write anything for me. That's supposedly what you elect your officials for. But unbeknownst to us, when you're looking for medical legislation, they go to the think tanks and the people in the medical community who finance the think tanks to write the legislation that they want pushed. That's how it works. Many of those think tanks are filled with academicians or academics who come at the university level, who don't dare go against the medical community because many of their medical institutions inside of the major colleges, universities are financed by the medical community, big pharma. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's like incest at the pharmaceutical / political level. They're all working together to keep everybody in check. And sister, people are getting the information out because you can go to Macedonia Online, Macedonia Online. Let me spell it for people who have trouble spelling this stuff like me. MacedoniaOnline .eu. And you'll find this. Leading Croatian priest don't get the H1N1 vaccine. Here's what he says. Controversy in Croatia after famous Croatian priest Miroslav Bustruk appealed to Croatians not to get the vaccine against the swine flu virus. In a church ceremony dedicated to St. Martin, Father Bustruk's statement caused an avalanche of reactions in Croatia. Quote, I appeal to you to not get vaccinated for the so-called swine flu under any circumstances. There is a plan for massive destruction of humanity worldwide. For this purpose, we will see new diseases springing up everywhere, reports the Croatian Daily, which I can't pronounce the name and I ain't going to try to, quoting Father Bustruk. The H1N1 vaccine itself is a very sophisticated weapon whose implanted microchip will control the health of the human being, added the Croatian priest, which prompted a great deal of disagreement by Croatian officials. Okay? Now, if you check, notice he said that there's a microchip inside the vaccine.
Yeah.
Earlier this year, go ahead, sister.
No, I was just saying, that's what it's about, that microchip.
Yes. Yes, that's part of it. Okay. Earlier this year, I did a webinar with Phil Valentine. And the webinar was dealing with microchips inside the vaccine. Now, how much time we got, sister?
We have 33 more minutes.
Okay. 13?
33.
Oh, okay. Here's some articles that people can go and check out that they'll find very interesting, because I had at least a 15 to 20 minute conversation with Phil Valentine about this, and I had did a program prior to that with the sisters and brothers down at the Order of Mayotte on the makeup of the vaccine, the chemical makeup of the vaccine, where Phil Valentine did his thing after us and used some of the same stuff and came to some of the same conclusions for the most part that we did. But anyway, here's what this particular article, this is one article, it says, this headline, Novartis chip implant texts your phone, need another pill. Novartis chip implant texts your phone when you get another pill. Let me read a little bit of this. This is from industry.bnet.com. Industry.bnet, badnortheat.com, for September 22nd, 2009. It says here, Novartis, oh, by the way, it's by Jim Edwards. Novartis implanted computer chips into the shoulders of 20 patients taking blood pressure drug Diovan, okay? So they already put the chips in 20 people. Here's what they do it for. The chips sent text messages to their cell phones when it was time to take the next pill. The experiment was designed to improve, quote, compliance, unquote. Lousy compliance is the phenomena of patients receiving prescriptions but not filling or taking them, costing big pharma sales. The important thing in all of that is not that the pill was sent a text message to your phone, but that the people have took it, have taken it already, and it's called compliance. So what happens if you're not in compliance? It depends on what the programming in the chip says. They go on to say Novartis' efforts are doubly creepy because it allows, or it actually involves, two internal chips. First chip is inside the pill being swallowed. It sends a signal to the chip in your shoulder. If you fail to take your next pill, the shoulder chip nags you on your mobile or your liver, depending on how it's programmed. After the text arrives on your phone, the message then goes onto the internet for caregivers to review and analyze. Creepiest of all, Pfizer's Health Solution Division has developed a system to telephone people to encourage them to take their medicine. Could the next step be a of ED-209 or Ed-209. You remember Ed-209, sister?
Ed-209. What's that, a robot?
RoboCop.
That was RoboCop. Okay.
That's right. If you don't take your pill, he shows up your house and gives you 20 seconds to comply. That's in the article. Now, here's another article entitled, Verichip TV Ad Confirms Critics' Fears. They want everyone implanted. Again, this is industry.bnet.com by Jim Edwards, October 20th, a month later, 2009. And I won't read that because basically they talk about the commercial. I want people to go to that website and check out the commercial that Verichip has running in some locations, okay? Then, here's what's important. This is very interesting. This is the third article in that series. It came out a week or so before the last one, October 9th, 2009, industry.bnet.com. Microchip implant controversy, a mark of the beast or coming singularity? Coming singularity. Singularity is a word used very prominently in Star Trek having to deal with the Borg. And you might recall me talking about the Borg some months ago, sister, and that's where they were trying to take people. So that everybody, once implanted, act in the manner of a hive. And that's what they called the Borg. The Borg was a hive, which basically was nothing more than a series of the Stars of David. I'm doing research now on the Stars of David and just what it all entails.
Mm-hmm.
That symbol is very prominent in many commercials and movies and everything. You'll see it everywhere. But if you don't know it, you won't recognize it. It's the six-pointed inside part of the Star of David. You'll see it everywhere, particularly in V, in the movie, the TV series V. If you look at the undercoating of the spaceship in that series that was about Barack Obama and the world government apparatus bringing about a new age, the last episode was about contaminated virus that had to be, that the aliens were attempting to give people at the same time that the virus was recalled in Canada. It's kind of like Wag the Dog. You know, Monica Lewinsky is in the movie before the thing breaks with her and Bill Clinton, but that she is in the movie.
Mm.
Anyway, this article says, the news that Novartis wants a deal with Proteus Biomedical to produce a microchip implant called Raisin, and I said when black prisoners get it and have to work out in the field, you can call that a raisin in the sun.
Mm.
Because all of us, once we get this thing here, we'll be prisoners. And if they want us to go and work in the fields, we're going to be raisins in the sun. But that's what they call that implant, raisin.
That will
text your mobile phone when it's time to take another pill. And Verichip's efforts to link microchip implants to online health records has caused two separate controversies that seem bound to collide. Christians believe the devices are eerily similar to the mark of the beast as described in the book of Revelation. While singularity buffs, those who look forward to the merge of humans and intellectual technology, regard it as a bold step forward in improving health. That's the Borg. The Borg's mantra is, we're going to implant you with Borg technology, and you become a part of the hive. Your thinking only is relevant in terms of the survival of the hive. And the beehive, again, is made in a series of Stars of David, the six-pointed stars that link together. That's what the hive is. And that's the control grid that's being dropped all over the planet right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's go ahead.
I wanted to open the lines up. I know people have some questions for you.
Mm-hmm. Sure, go ahead.
Area code 313-259, do you have a question, comment?
Yes. Hello.
Go ahead.
Yes, how you doing, sir?
Okay, I'm fine. How are you? I have
good.
What I saw on the TV the other day on CNN, that the government has purchased 1 million gloves and masks for the people out in Southern California. It seems that the students are coming down with this H1N1. So they're providing masks for them and the latex gloves. and it is supported by a government grant.
That's how they do it.
I said, And, like, the other thing that I was thinking, and I remember, like, what is such the emphasis on Ukraine? And I remember once, wasn't the man that was the president was given some poison? He was running for president. And he
yes.
And his face was kind of disfigured.
Yes, that was done by the Russian intelligence service. He ended up, I think he was running for office. He wasn't the only one. There was another guy who was a part of the intelligence community that went to Britain and exposed it, okay?
Right. Now the
and then they got to him in his hotel room and poisoned him too, killed
right.
him.
Now, the other part of that is it's interesting because sometime back I heard that Russia, because of their low population and the population getting older, they were letting people off from work so that they could make love to produce children.
That's correct.
And so now does Russia want to control the Ukraine and these other countries with the sign in it, like, I can't think, but, you know, Serbia or Croatia, and that I think it's called, like, that Eastern Bloc?
Yes.
Now,
go ahead.
Is the same thing happening in this country? Are they trying to kill off people that are low income and they feel that of no use to society? And they want what type of society do they want? And I'll hang.
They want a society. Now that's an excellent question, sister.
Thank
Let me
you,
commend
Paula.
You. That was an excellent question. They want a society. They have already stated that 500 million people planet wide is more than enough. 500 million people. Is more than enough. And you have very, very, I can't remember this doctor's name. If some of my people know the doctor from the University of Texas who said that he wouldn't have any problem. They gave him the most prestigious award and one of the most prestigious awards in this country. He stated quite clearly, and there was an uproar about it at the University of Texas, that he wouldn't have any problem if 90% of the people on the planet died right now. Get them out of here.
Mm.
They gave this guy an award. I forget his name. If anybody that knows that particular doctor's name, please call in. I didn't plan on mentioning him.
Or either put it in the chat room.
Yes. At any rate, sister, you're right on it. And that's the thing. When you hear right-wing people talking about socialism and communism, I don't care what label you put on this thing, because I know that historically, those people who were running Russia, for the most part, were very prominent Jewish people who didn't incur the wrath of people like, you know, most other Russian citizens or Eastern European citizens. I know that the European so-called royal families who all come from the same bloodline, okay, many of them are Jewish who don't practice Judaism, okay? I know that. I know that there's major infighting going on between these various Jewish factions. I can document this stuff in very mainstream stuff, Jewish publications, The Forward, Maritz, and others. Okay, Mother Jones, Vanity Fair, they talking about the stuff, so I feel comfortable talking about it. However, the so-called visual media dare not talk about this. There's nothing more important. It's the thing that's making everything what it is today. It's the underlying theme to everything that's going on. The world government, I don't care what you call it. I ain't into the labels. You can call it socialism, communism, or whatever. It's about a small group of people on the planet controlling everything that everybody does, period.
And that's sick.
It is. But they've been around for hundreds of years because
they've been doing all that inbreeding and they have become mentally ill.
No question about it. No question about it. And see, I had this discussion with a brother here, you know, using the term they're predisposed to be violent, that they're genetically violent. And he says that, you know, of course, in the world of academia, which is why I have problems with academia, because they basically push white supremacy for the most part. In the world of academia, you can't say that today because they have the Genome Project, which even though it's a so-called identified a violence gene, you can't say people are predisposed to violence because that's how they look at black people.
Now, somebody wrote Eric Pianka.
That's his name.
Yeah.
Dr. Eric Pianka, University of Texas. Do a Google search on him and prepare to be outraged that this man is sitting up in one of the most prestigious universities in this country, and they're giving him awards and defending him when he says 90% of the people ought to be gone off the planet today.
I'm gonna open the line up again. Area code 313-345. Do you have a question or comment? 345. Okay. Let's see. Area code 313-567. 567. Do you have a question or comment? Okay.
Well, they maybe just listening.
And they probably is. Let me try some more here. Area code 425. Do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, this is Woodman. I'm agreeing with what a lot you're saying. It's kind of scary stuff. Just going to see if you believe that this is a UN agenda and if you have any comment on Obama's science and technology czar, John Holdren.
Oh, John Holdren is a dyed-in-the-wool eugenicist who comes out of the framework of this same, I almost said Global 2000, which is another offshoot of the Limits of Growth. Understand, he comes out of the environment that produced, what's this husband and wife team, who wrote the Population Bomb back in the 60s. Robert Ehrlich, that's correct. He's one of his mentors. So all of these people are eugenicists, and they propagated a phony environmental theory along with a phony population theory that's given weight based on the university atmosphere and the UN, which finances through NGOs and 501c3 the propagation of this madness. It's real.
Do you believe there's any correlation between the UN and the timing of the Obama administration and the timing of picking John Holdren being the science and technology czar?
I think it's like a needle and thread hemming a pants leg. One stitch comes after another.
By the think tank organizations?
No question about it. You see, that's why I pointed out earlier in the conversation that Barack Obama comes out of Ford Foundation / Rockefeller Foundation money through the Gamaleya Foundation. And anybody can do a Google on the Reese Commission, and which was done in the 50s, and you will see how dangerous the foundation apparatus really is, because they were exposed as doing nothing more than pushing social agenda, financing social agenda by way of the foundation grants. That's not me. That's your Congress at work. So I agree with you 1,000%. There's no question about it.
Is Henry Kissinger tied to any of this?
Of course. He's been there. Anybody that's coming from the Rockefeller family, the Rockefellers, go and look at their history, particularly since the turn of the century. You'll find there's no population control effort, none, that they haven't been behind. None. And he finances, to a large degree, the environmental movement as well, along with George Soros and some others. But let's be clear. They have people on the right who they pull out at strategic times to propagate this madness as well. So it is both left and right. That's why you saw toward John McCain getting ready to run for president, him doing his global excursions and then begin to propagate the whole theory of climate change. And notice they changed the language from the environmental movement to climate change.
You know, when I started listening, you were talking about the premature births and
yes.
like a correlation with the H1N1. I know that they've basically tried putting a halt to people bringing that up because there has been premature births.
Yes.
For those that have taken the shot, just like there's been the Guillain-Barré syndrome, and they're
That's
trying
true.
To they're trying to say that there is no correlation necessarily because people always have premature births. So they're trying to just basically backtrack a little bit, trying to sidestep the issue, trying to not say that it's as a result of the H1N1 shot. Just like that child that took the H1N1 shot, within hours he was in a wheelchair. He had severe
That's
head
correct.
Injuries, and he came down with Guillain-Barre syndrome. So, yeah, the whole thing isn't right. And I'm, you know, a lot of people around me kind of look at me like, you're one of these guys that's a conspiracy theorist. And I'm like, well, do your own research. And it's, you know, you're talking about a lot of very serious issues, and it's not in the mainstream media. So I'm just glad that you guys are talking about it. I think it's important to get that message out. So,
well, I appreciate your concern, but you see, they've got people so locked up in this black, white, left, right paradigm. They use race and everything else that they can. Now, I'm not saying that there are not a lot of racist white people. There's no question about it. It's the history of this country. However, the whole dynamic is changing. And now, white people are beginning to incur, including the whole police state apparatus. White people are being treated like black people have been treated in this country for years and didn't pay attention to what was going on. And in many cases, our communities have been used as the laboratories for a lot of this stuff to see what's going to happen. And we haven't, no question about it. Or they call it piecemeal functionalism. That's the academic term that they've used for, particularly back in the 60s and 70s, piecemeal functionalism, a little bit at a time. And before you know it, is on you. So now we all are forced to, and this is for black people, white people, Asian people, all people need to turn away from their governments. It's their governments who are doing this. And we need to stop. As organisms on the planet, we need to stop. Because they have us fighting each other, and we don't even know why. They got people over there in Afghanistan destabilizing Pakistan, killing people for the same reason, talking about 9/11, and their own people saying 100 so-called al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Then why the hell are you sending 60,000 more troops this year to Afghanistan?
Well, it's strange. I'm agreeing with everything that you're saying. I had my own terminology for it. I called it worldwide pharmaceutical conspiracy about 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that 9/11 was an inside job.
No question.
I believe that this whole thing has just been a big lie, and people are falling for it to this day. And
here's what's happening that's interesting. And I want you to check out Mother Jones and Vanity Fair, very middle-of-the-road magazines, and Mother Jones, a very left-wing magazine. But then go and check out Haaretz, H-A-A-R-E-T-Z. That's a very mainstream Jewish publication, and the Forward. And take a look at the articles in those magazines on the intelligence/inter-Jewish infighting, or infighting between the Zionist versus the internationalist Jew. The internationalists are for world government. The Zionists are for world government. They just have different methodologies for how they're going to get about it.
Thank you, Woodman.
Thank you. Keep it up. Bye.
Okay.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to take another call here. Okay. The caller 313736. Do you have a question?
Oh, I thought it was Foot Locker.
Oh, okay. So that's somebody listening. Okay, brother Robert X. We're down to 12 minutes.
Okay, I got two articles that I definitely want to close out with people. And for the last guy that just called in, he'll find this quite interesting as well. This is why I document everything, because I don't want anybody, and the way you neutralize the attack is through documentation. I've been doing this for over 25 years now, and I've always let the documentation speak for me. I don't have to say a word. I can just go to every document and cite some of the stuff in there, and it speaks for itself. This is from healthfreedomalliance.org. healthfreedomalliance.org. Knowledge of planned pandemic with 100% certainty. Knowledge of planned pandemic with 100% certainty. People will find the history, if you understand the history of this particular corporation, you'll find it quite interesting. Here's what they say here. IBM, International Business Machines, Service and Global Procurement of PAN, IoT Europe, Pandemic Plan Overview. An official interdepartmental document was distributed to upper-level management of IBM France in 2006.
Disclosed in this secret document was the prediction of a planned pandemic described as having a 100% chance of occurring within the next 5 years. This document also prescribes quarantines and operational procedures to be taken by the World Health Organization. The foreknowledge of such an event could not exist unless the pandemic was planned, was a planned event. And it goes on with IBM documentation with that particular title, Services and Global Procurement Pan IoT Europe Pandemic Plan Overview. It says here in that particular plan, we will plan for two waves of the pandemic, each last 12 weeks, separated by a 12-week breather period. There will be one trigger from corporate pandemic vice president, probably a few days ahead of World Health Organization official trigger. And each company where we operate, we will respond positively to government requests. Now, Edwin Black just did one of the most outstanding presentations on IBM and its relationship not only to the Holocaust, where the IBM number system was used to track everything, but they are now a current player, okay? And understand, the virus was recombined or taken loose and recombined by way of the RNA using the Promise software that was taken from a family named William and Nancy Hamilton under a court case called the Inslaw Affair. Okay? They had a software that had a built-in back door in the 80s that was given to a number of governments that allowed for the U.S. government to basically have secret access to their particular computer systems. That software was used to recombine or the RNA of the 1918 flu virus. The last piece that I'm going to leave everybody with, this is frightening. This is English dot Fars News, F-A-R-S News, N-E-W-S dot com. Remote control nanocomposite invented for drug delivery inside body. Remote control nanocomposite invented for drug delivery inside body. This is Wednesday, November 18th, 2009. Well, just in case, because they have two dates on here, try November 16th, 2009 as well. These are those two dates. Here's what they say here, and I'm going to close out with this particular article. And anybody else got any questions, get them in now. Says here, researchers created a small implantable device that encapsulates the drug in a specially engineered membrane embedded with magnetic iron oxide nanoparticles. These methods use stimuli such as an implanted heat source or an implanted electronic chip to trigger the drug release from the implanted reservoir. So far, none of these methods can reliably perform all the needed actions, repeatedly turning doses on and off and delivering consistent doses and adjust doses according to each patient's need. The application of an external alternating magnetic field heats the magnetic nanoparticles, causing the gels in the membranes to warm and temporarily collapse. Let me read that again because I got a little lost there. The applications of an external alternating magnetic field heats the magnetic nanoparticles, causing the gels in the membrane to warm and temporarily collapse. This collapse opens up pores in your body that allow the drugs to pass through into the body. When the magnetic field is turned off, the membranes cool and the gels re-expand, closing the pores and halting the drug delivery. No implanted electronics are required. Quote, we have developed an implantable system that can provide on-demand, reproducible drug release whenever the patient or other operator wants, using a trigger that is external to the body. In this case, an oscillating magnetic field. Now, Dale Blair has been talking about this. I grew up under Dale Blair back in the 70s, okay, trying to understand as a young guy naturopathy, you know, natural healing and that kind of thing. And I used to buy the blue-green manna and the algae and the bee pollen and all of that stuff back in those days in the 80s, okay? So I understand I have a base in metaphysics. I don't get into it because I think that there are enough people out there to deal with that, like and some of the other brothers. My people don't need me in that area. We need, for me, the intelligence apparatus and how it affects our everyday lives. So I study the governments, some of this stuff, military-industrial complex, and I study their moves with a passion, okay? But they go on here to say, the membrane that Kohani's team, he's one of the guys that developed this, consists of ethyl cellulose, which is the membrane support, super paramagnetic nanoparticles, which is the triggering entity outside of the body, and thermosensitive poly. I'm not going to say that word. They have a medical word here. I'll say it. Isopropylamide.
Okay.
Are you sure? Isopropylacrylamide. That's
well,
too many syllables.
You spelled it for the people look it up.
That's right. Go find it for yourself. And then they have nano-based nanogels, which is the switching entity. They go on to say membranes were prepared by co-evaporation so that the nanogel and magnetic nanoparticles were entrapped in ethyl cellulose to form a presumably a disordered network.
Well,
to facilitate
Robert X, we're down to 2 minutes. And if people want to contact you, can they contact you? And where are you going to be speaking at?
This Saturday I'll be at the Kelly Branch Library here in Chicago at 6151 South Normal. It's free. I do accept the donations to, you know, keep buying the ink and the paper because this is what I do 24 hours a day.
And what time are you going to be there?
1 o'clock to 4 o'clock.
Okay.
Bring a friend. The title of the program will be Barack Obama, Year One, From the Ballot to the Bullet.
Okay. Hello?
We don't leave anything out there when we deal with anybody. We don't leave nothing.
Okay. So that's this Saturday from 1 to 4 at the, in Chicago.
Kelly Branch Library.
Okay.
Kelly Branch Library. I'm sorry.
Okay. Well, we're down to 1 minute. And so.
Anybody want
to
contact me, sister? I'm sorry. Anybody want to contact me, you can email me at McCrayr9599@yahoo. That's McCrayr9599@yahoo. Or go to Ning or X marks the spot on Ning. Or you can hit me up on Facebook.
Okay, well, thank you so much for coming on and giving us this information, and we will do this again.
Thank you, sister.
Thank you. Well, you've been listening to the Truth Power Show. And again, we have to, it's not just to get the knowledge, we have to know what to do with the knowledge once we get it. And so the knowledge is here, and it is totally up to us to do something with the information that we are getting here. So again, Thank you for joining me tonight. I'll see you next Sunday at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on the Truth to Power Show.